Rediscovering Christmas. What a great way to describe what we are attempting to do this year. I'd like for you to think for a moment as we start about your own Christmas traditions and what those traditions look like in your house. Matter of fact, I think one of the things that as you get older is that you stop doing some things that you always did when maybe not only when you were younger, but maybe when your children were younger. Honestly, it's a chore for Arlena to even put up a tree anymore. You know, it's like you have to fight to keep those things alive. You know, one Christmas tradition in our house that I still have a lot of fun with is when our girls were small. You know, now they've both been married over a decade now, so they're getting up there. But I remember way back when they were little and young teens, just one year when we had gone to JB Tree Farm. Did you ever go to JB Tree Farm, cut down a tree? Yeah, or somewhere else? That was always a very enjoyable time. But we would go and cut down a tree. And it was funny, this tradition actually started just as a, you know, just something going on in my crazy mind. But we were looking for a tree, and I said to our girls, Kristen and Sarah, I said, girls, listen, finding the perfect Christmas tree is like finding the right person to marry, the right man to marry. Okay? And I said, now listen, give me your attention. There's some rules, all right? Number one, you never choose the first one you see. No matter how good you think it looks, no matter how perfect it looks, you always pass on the first one. You don't do that with the, and you don't do it looking for a husband either. I said, number two, you always have to remember that you never make your choice in the dark. Never. Because you need the light to be able to see the imperfections, the things going on, things like that. If it gets dark, you come back and choose your tree another day. Okay, number three, listen, girls, listen to me. Your dad's telling you here, no amount of decorations have the ability to cover up major flaws. You know what? You take an imperfect tree home and you have to turn it around and put the backside toward the wall because you don't want anybody to see it. I said it's the same thing with picking a husband. You never think that you can dress it up or make it look better or no one will notice. People always notice. And I said, and number four, and listen, girls, don't forget this. Don't ever forget this. Once you cut it down and drag it home, it's yours. You can't bring it back and exchange it for another one. And number five, just let your mom choose it because that's the one you're going to take home anyway. You know, as I look at my son-in-laws, I take credit for that. You know, after all those lectures over the years. Have you ever been to Finland? Finland, I think, has one of the greatest Christmas traditions ever. It goes all the way back to the 1300s. So think about this. Over 700 years, they've done this in a little town. Let me find the name here. Turku, Finland. Every year, they have this tremendous Christmas tradition. It's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. Now, I want you to look this up sometime and read all the other stuff about it. It's a beautiful time. It's a tradition in this little town. Every Christmas Eve, a city official goes out and looks over the town of Turku, and they declare this Christmas tradition called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. Let me read it to you. It's tremendous. It said, tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this Christmas peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior, shall under aggravating circumstances be guilty and punished accordingly to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. Merry Christmas. I think that that's a pretty cool tradition. Matter of fact, even to this day, there are people that travel from all around the world to experience that declaration of Christmas peace. I mean, if you're gonna go on this journey that we call Advent, these weeks leading up to the celebration of the birth of Jesus, I think it's interesting and it's very important to recognize along the way what we're celebrating. Now, if you remember, Advent means receiving. It means coming. It means arrival. Last week we talked to you about what? Hope. How God in the story of Christmas brings us hope. How Simeon and Anna were hopeful as they waited in the temple for the blessed Messiah to come. But here's the thing, folks. During Advent, we bring all these things. Certainly hope, and today, peace. We do so very actively and with assurance. And we are waiting hopefully and peacefully as we think about what God has done. You know, last week we actually started by looking at different characters. Last week was Simeon and Anna and how they represented hope in the Christmas story. Today I'd like to look at a different character of that early Christmas, and it was the shepherds and how they teach us that peace is something that can be restored through the coming of Jesus. Matter of fact, you know, the shepherds are some of the most important actors in that first Christmas. I love the story about the little boy who was playing one of the shepherds. He wasn't a lead shepherd. He was just one of the, you know, supporting shepherds. But he was there on the stage, and he had missed all the practices leading up to Christmas. But they let him be in the play anyway. And the little boy was standing there on stage, and he had his dad's bathrobe on, and he had a shepherd's crook in his hand. And he was just amazed at everything that he was seeing. And he saw the manger there, and he looked over in the manger. And then he proclaimed, "Mom and Dad, Mary had her baby. I think it's a boy." And of course, he was the star of the show. This Christmas, how peaceful is your existence? You see, I think that's a great question that right now, especially during this time of year, with all the craziness going on with the pandemic, with the virus, and all this kind of thing. It seems that peace is something that can evade us very, very easily. You know, Luke speaks to this in his story of Christmas when he says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Being terrified is the absence of peace, isn't it? "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they'd heard and seen, and they were just, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 8 through 20. You see, folks, here's the message of the shepherds that we can hold on to today. The closer we get to Jesus, the more peaceful our existence will be. Now, let me give you another illustration of this. Remember in the Old Testament when Elijah flees out into the wilderness and he finds himself under a tree and he asks God to let him die? And then it says that God came and ministered to him and told him to go and to wait because the presence of God was about to pass by. And he goes and he waits, and all of these thunderous things come by. You know, the great wind comes by, and the great earthquake happens, and all these things rock the world around Elijah. And then it says that Elijah then heard a great whisper. And then the point was that God was not in any of the calamity and all of the catastrophe. But God was in the quietness of a whisper. Someone once asked, why is God talking in a whisper? And it said, because he's always close by. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Arlene said to me, sweetheart, I'm right here. You don't have to talk that loud. The closer we are to God, the closer we are to Jesus, the easier it is to hear them. When the shepherds were in the field, they were terrified. The closer they got to Jesus, the more peace they had. You see, the audience for this grand announcement, for this angelic announcement, it wasn't important VIPs. It wasn't the rich and famous. It wasn't the kings and queens. It wasn't the movers and shakers of the world. It was simply those shepherds, those completely ordinary, average Joe kind of guys, night shift working animal tenders, the most unlikely and unexpected recipients of this message of wholeness, this message of arrival, this message of peace. But that whole experience of the shepherds, it leaves us asking something. Certainly it leaves me asking something. And maybe it's something that we need to think about today. Why shepherds? Why were the shepherds the one that God spoke to first? Why were they the ones that received this tremendous, beautiful experience? I think partly it's simply that God sent his angelic messengers to announce the birth of his son to shepherds, simply because that was who they were. They were ordinary people. In many ways, looked down on by people in society. But just as last week, when Simeon and Anna gave us some insights about hope, I think the shepherds today can give us some insight about peace. And listen, folks, regardless of what you are experiencing today, regardless of what's going on around us and in society today, we can have that peace. I don't know if you heard, but the University of Tennessee played Florida yesterday. It's the worst day of the year for me. We've only beat them once out of the last 17 years. Well, my son-in-law, and I would not have okayed this marriage if I would have known that he was going to do this to me. He torments me about it. Well, we were going to get together and watch the game Tennessee was like 18-point underdogs, so I wasn't very hopeful about the game. But it kind of bothered me when I walked into their house to see the game, and Jack greets me with a Florida Gator shirt on. And Finley comes up and gives me a hug, and I say, "Hey, sweetheart, how are you?" And she goes, "Chomp, chomp." Their dad had spent some significant time with them before I arrived. But I'm telling you what, I was just, it was like, you know what, God, just bring about a miracle. I mean, if you could slay David with one small, or the Goliath with one small stone from the sling of David, I'm asking for a miracle today, God. Obviously, he had more important things to do than to take care of that for me. But here's some insights from the shepherds about peace. Have you ever noticed how most of the time real peace comes in the midst of a storm? I mean, we don't become peaceful when everything around us is going great. It's usually when we're in the midst of a hardship or we're going through a difficult time. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been through a hurricane. Thankfully, I've not. But I've seen enough of them on TV to know that I never want to go through them. But more often than not, people tell about heroism. They tell about sacrifice. They talk about how they were cared for and sustained during those difficult times. Even in the midst of great storms, I can't tell you how many times somebody said to me, "Pastor John, I know that this was so hard, but I just had a peace that I couldn't hardly understand." You ever heard that? You ever felt that way? You know, you're going through a terrible time, and you have every reason to be scared, to be fearful, you know, to be angry, to be upset, and everything, but you just have this peace. You have this pause in the middle of the storm. And then when the storm is over, it's kind of like God just lays a blanket of comfort over you. So let me ask you, how is this Christmas season going for you? You know, one thing I've heard more than anything else about this Christmas season, people say, "Boy, it's different. It's a different kind of holiday. It's a different kind of year." It is different. But the one thing that must not be different is our experience of the arrival of Jesus. Because if we're honest, we might choose words like, "Well, my Christmas is busy. My Christmas is hectic. It's frantic." I don't know how you would describe your Christmas. Maybe you feel overloaded. Maybe everything about this holiday and about this particular year robs you of your peace. But for many of us, peace certainly sounds like a long way off, even though we know that it is a wonderful idea and it's a great thing to experience. You see, folks, this is where God meets us at Christmas. That's what he did with the shepherds. That's what he did with Mary when it says that Mary took all these things and she pondered them in her heart. That's a phrase that's describing the peace that Mary has. She just rode a donkey. She just delivered a baby in a cattle barn. She just laid her newborn baby in a feeding trough. But yet she had the ability to ponder what God was doing in all of these things. See, folks, in all of these struggles, this is where God shows up, as he did last week with Simeon and Anna. This is when God invites us to the city of David to experience the birth of Jesus as he did with the shepherds. And I don't know what hardship you're facing today or pain that you're feeling, but God does. And God is already here bringing peace to calm your heart, peace that defies the circumstances of life. That's the second thing. Peace defies our circumstances. You know, you may think, and I've actually had people say this to me, you know what, that sounds great, and it may be nice for you, and maybe you're thinking here this morning, you don't know where my life is going, you don't know what's going on in my life, what I'm experiencing, and that's true. Yesterday, I spoke up at the lighthouse with the men, and one of the things I said to them was how Elijah, that on one day he could face 850 prophets of Baal and defeat them. He could pray and call down fire from heaven to consume the altar and the sacrifice and the water and everything there. But the very next day, Ahab's wife, Jezebel, said to him, "I'm going to get you." And that's when he ran out of town and hid under the tree and asked God to let him die. How do you go from facing 850 prophets that are fighting against you to running and hiding from one woman? One man actually said up there yesterday, he said, "Pastor, you never met my wife?" No, like the guy said one time, said, "You know, I never believed in the devil until I married his sister." Now, that's bad right there, right? But anyway, for whatever reason, Elijah found himself running away. Don't run away. Run to. Simeon and Anna, they see Jesus, they go to him. The closer we are to Jesus, the more peace that we experience. The further we are from Jesus, the more that we experience the waves and the calamity that life brings. The shepherds were in the field, and it says that they heard the angels singing, and they were terrified. But then they were told to go to the city of David to see what God had done. And as they went, they experienced God's peace. You see, folks, we can remain in our circumstances, or we can take ourselves closer to God. The Apostle Paul describes this particular situation when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," Philippians 4. "I will say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me encourage you today that no matter what you are facing, that this process begins with us turning to God, bringing our hurts, our questions, our doubts, our whys, and our needs to Him. As Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You know what I think the hardest part of that text is? When he says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't worry about anything. I mean, folks, let's just all admit, most of the time, we do experience worry. We are anxious. Now, sometimes we try to put a Christian definition to it and say, "Oh, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned." No, you're worried. And we need to understand that the kind of peace that God is talking about, it defies our circumstances. Listen, folks, I don't fully understand it, but there's a power in prayer that transforms us and makes us grow into this beautiful place of gratitude. It's not the power of getting or receiving what we want, but it's convincing us that God is for us and that God will be with us and He will help us along this journey of life. That God is enough. Which brings me to this third thing. Real peace is simply a person. See, that's what Simeon and Anna found out. That's what the shepherds find out. And as we go through this the next couple weeks, we're going to see this happen again. It all comes back to a person. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 14, for he himself is our peace. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. There's nothing, there's not a wall between us and our God in heaven. We just have to get closer to him. You know, my grandson Jack, yesterday, he said something to me that he said to me the last three times that I've seen him. And it broke my heart to give him the answer. But several weeks ago when I saw him, and he said, Pappy, did you bring me and Finley something? I have a reputation. And I had to tell him, no, just I'm just here today, Jack, just me. And then I saw him last week. He's like, Pappy, did you bring me and Finley something? I said, no, I brought some food that we're going to cook, but you know, no toys or anything. Yesterday, after he insulted my football team, he said, Pappy, did you bring me and Finley something? And I actually said to Arlene, I got to go buy something. My reputation is going to change if I don't get something for these kids. But you know, Arlene told me, and I saw it bore out yesterday in playing with the kids. When it gets right down to it, it's you being there that they really desire. Because whatever you bring, they're going to discard very quickly. But if you're gone, it's something even more. You see, folks, here at Christmas time, we need to understand that. Isaiah chapter 9 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. He is the Prince of Peace, who brings peace. And as we learned last week and this week, the closer we get to him, the more peace we can experience. Jesus is God who came to be with us. And he offers us this invitation during Advent. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that's not an offer of peace, I'm not sure what else is. Let those words wash over you this Christmas season. That God not only wants to give you hope, as we talked last week, but that God wants to give you an abundance of peace right now, regardless of what your situation is in life. Let's pray. Father, may we look for the Prince of Peace, that even though the wind blows and the storms swirl, may we hear that sweet, gentle whisper that tell us that God is present with us. And Father, may we just examine our own lives and know that in some ways that we do not experience the peace that we desire, because of where we are in life, that we're not doing like Simeon and Anna and recognizing Jesus when he walks into our room, that we're not doing like the shepherds who hear the angels sing and are encouraged to go, and they go, and when they are close to Jesus And they see Mary pondering these things in her heart that, Lord, they experience the peace of Christmas as well. So many times, Lord, we don't recognize His coming, and that we just continue on, Lord, with the drudgery of life that the shepherds could have done. And that, Lord, we miss this advent of Christmas peace. Father, I know that I'm speaking to some people this morning that need to know Your peace. Not peace that the world could give, but Your peace that passes all understanding. And I pray, Lord, that we would experience that Christmas peace. And that, Father, it would make such a difference in who we are and how we face, Lord, these difficult days that we are in right now. Father, nothing going on around us should ever have the power to affect our discovery of Christmas, our experience of Christmas, and of His hope and of His peace. And I pray, Lord, that right now everyone here would take that step towards You. Take that step toward hope like we talked about last week. And that, Father, we could experience the peace that can only come from You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.